would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing.
From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, this is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome to the show. Dexter Gordon, the super cool saxophonist, is on holidays this week. So Ringo and the boys are standing in for him and doing a sterling job, I might say.
What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone?
Yep, they're holding the fort. And holding is what we're about this week. Old flames can't hold a candle to you. Or holding back the years. Or how about hold on, I'm coming. Or I want to hold your hand by these roosters. Or holding out for a hero. Oh, I love you, Bonnie. How about hold me now. I'll fight like hell to hold you. Hold tight. And from Mick and Keith, want to hold you. And holding on, except they're not. GMH, Holden, Gonski.
Love at first sight, yes I'm certain that it happens all the time. What do you see when you turn out the light?
We'd better have a look at GM's version of Holden, soon to be gone. We'll look at the icon's timeline. And we'll even have a look, if we've got time, on that wonderful lion logo that they designed. We're all holding up today on 30 Laps.
Need anybody? I just need someone to love. Could it be anybody?
So let's get cracking, shall we? From the Sydney Morning Herald on Tuesday, the February the 18th, 2020, Joshua Dowling gives us an analysis, Global Forces Accelerated Model Failure. Like all major disasters, the demise of Holden after 72 years in Australia is the result of a vast number of factors, some of which were out of their control. The problems go way beyond the use of the Commodore name on the imported model after local manufacturing ended in October 2017. Or the series of misguided advertisements which tied up to change Holden's image to appeal to a more cosmopolitan audience. While a strong Australian dollar made Holden exports unprofitable before 2017, the tide ironically turned after the factory closure. Holden has since been paying the price for a weak Australian dollar and a lack of investment in new models by its parent company General Motors in the wake of the global financial crisis. Last year, Holden posted its lowest monthly sales record since the brand was established in 1948. Since then, the company has been left with a Spartan model range. General Motors' promise of 20 new models by 2020 never eventuated. The Herald understands that while former Toyota executive Dave Butner was lured out of retirement in 2018 with the insurance of a vast and revised model range, those plans were taken off the table within his first 9 months in the job. That's probably, we suspect, when GM executives in Detroit made the decision to pull the plug on Holden in Australia. As future model plans disappeared, key personnel in charge of Holden's forward productions and products left the business midway through 2019. The Holden Commodore and the Astra were axed late last year and dealers were clearing remaining stock. The two newest Holden models, the Arcadia, a seven-seat SUV introduced in 2018, and the Equinox, a five-seat SUV introduced in 2017, have sold at a fraction of the original sales expectations, despite General Motors reportedly investing $100 million to convert them to right-hand drive. The remaining lineup, the Trax, the City, both SUVs introduced in 2013, Trailblazer, a four-wheel drive introduced in 2012, and Colorado Ute introduced in 2011 were all overdue for a full model changeover. Since emerging from the bankruptcy, the parent company has been brutal about pulling out of loss-making markets. In 2017, General Motors decided to get out of Europe after decades in the market, selling its Opel and Vauxhall badges to French car conglomerate Peugeot Citroën. At the time of that sale, there were unsubstantiated rumours about the bounding and bundling of Holden, Peugeot and Citroën, but senior GM executives flatly denied them. Thailand, Australia and New Zealand became the three key remaining fields and also the key remaining right-hand drive markets for GM. But the cost of developing vehicles unique to this region has now been deemed prohibitively expensive. Even Thailand, with its relatively cheap labour costs, couldn't save the Holden. Here's why. There is no recovery plan. It would have cost General Motors $1 billion to develop the next Colorado Ute, of which 50,000 a year are sold in the Asia-Pacific region. Or the parent company can allocate the same $1 billion to the next Chevrolet Silverado and GMC pickups, of which more than 750 units are sold annually in the US at a substantially higher profit. "It's a no-brainer," said one car industry veteran, speaking on the condition of anonymity. "As much as Holden fans will be sad about this, Holden is not making money and there is clearly not much chance of a recovery." And that was the analysis piece by Joshua Dowling in the Sydney Morning Herald of Tuesday, February 18, 2020. Holden, hey? It's a good Aussie brand, so I guess it deserves some good Aussie music. I can guarantee you that one of those guys in the Hoodoo Gurus would have owned a Holden at some stage, as most of us did. We stick with the Sydney Morning Herald, same date, 28th of Tuesday, February 18, and we go to a lifelong fanatic. Just a short piece here, angry and devastated at the end of the road. Caroline Webb writes, "Shocked, angry and devastated. That's how David Slater reacted to the news Holden brand is no more. I think it sucks personally," says the Holden tragic. "Although it's long been mooted that Holden will pull out of the Australian market due to record low sales, when the axe did fall yesterday, enthusiasts were still in disbelief. I'm angry. I'm devastated. I think it's shocking," says Mr. Slater, 57, from Melbourne's southeast. "I think the name should stay. It's synonymous with Australian cars. We've got to keep it. It's Australian history." Mr. Slater is one of those people whose entire family, including his mother, his wife and three children, drive Holdens. He says it's not just done in the family to buy a Toyota or a Peugeot. They all know what I think. He reckons he's owned easily 70 Holdens in his life. As a child, his father drove a 1954 FJ Ute and later a 71 HQ Statesman. Mr. Slater now owns 11 Holdens, from a 65 HD Ute to a 2004 Commodore Adventurer sedan. They all have a story. There's the never repainted 1970 beige and white HT station wagon, which he inherited from his father-in-law, who bought it new. There's also the 1986 VL Commodore station wagon that he still races at Phillip Island and Sandown. He bought his 1968 HK Monaro in the Trading Post newspaper for about $1,800 in about 1993. It now worth over $100,000. It's a classic, he said. It's loud and fast. I used to drag race in the old days. Good car. Mr. Slater also worked for Holden for 32 years, from an apprentice motor mechanic in 1978, when he was 15 years old, until he accepted a payout as an office-bound pre-production planner in 2009. He now runs his own brake business. He hates the fact that Holden Manufacturing went offshore from Australia in the first place, and dreams that we could do it again. We were the first to make them in 1948, and we were the last to make them in 2017. And I think we're a country that could do them again. But he accepts it's an impossible dream. Penny pinching, I suppose you'd call it, is why he says they've shut. To them, they just don't care. It's all about the money, I believe. That's the reason they're doing it. But it's still wrong. And that was Lifelong Fanatic, Angry and Devastated at the End of the Road, Caroline Webb, from Sydney Morning Herald, Tuesday, February 18, 2020.
All the young men of Newcastle drive down Hunter Street in their hot FJ Holden, chrome-plated grease nipples and double-reverse overhead twin-cam door handles. Down Hunter Street, which is called Hunter Street for reasons that are becoming rapidly more and more obvious. In fact, they've put in a few pot plants lately and they call part of it the Hunter Street Mall, for reasons that will become obvious later on in the song. And all the young fellas drive down Hunter Street, sitting eight abreast in the front seat, and they lean out the window and say real cool things to the sheilas on the footpath, like, g'day.
Holden, it sure is Australian. Let's have a look at a bit of a timeline, shall we? From the same paper of the same date. 1856, Holden starts as a saddlery company in Adelaide. 1908, expands to include vehicle upholstery. 1914, makes its first car body using a horse carriage building techniques. 1918, builds 587 car bodies, but not the same engine, chassis and steering or suspension. 1924, General Motors signs a contract with Holden to manufacture local bodies. 1928, Holden's Lion and Stone logo is created. 31, Holden Motors buys Holden and establishes GMH. 1936, Holden assembles cars in Port Melbourne using foreign US parts. 1939, as the world goes to war, GM's plans for an Australian car are put on hold. 1948, November 29, 1948, Prime Minister Ben Chifley launches the first Holden car in Port Melbourne and declares, "She's a beauty." Price, when new, $1,466 or 733 quid. 1953, the FJ goes on sale, priced about $2,046 new. 58, body assembly division at Elizabeth, South Australia begins. 65, Holden factory in Elizabeth begins full vehicle assembly. 68, the mighty Kingswood goes on sale, as does Holden's first V8, the Monaro. 71, the HQ Kingswood goes on sale. An epic 485,650 were built from 71 to 74. 1978, the Holden Commodore is born. 86, Holden goes to the unthinkable and fits an imported Nissan six-cylinder engine under the bonnet of the VL Commodore. 87, racing car driver Peter Brock unveils a device called the Energy Polarizer and fits it to his latest series of HDT performance cars. 1989, Holden switches its model sharing deal with Nissan to a partnership with Toyota under the federal government plan. Toyota get a version of the Commodore V6 called the Lexan, while in return Holden gets a two-cylinder car, a version of the locally made Camry called Apollo, and the Toyota Corolla called Nova. 1996, the model-sharing partnership between Holden and Toyota ends. The Commodore starts its 15-year run as Australia's favourite car. 1997, Holden releases the new generation VT Commodore. It goes on to become one of the biggest selling Holdens of all time. 303,895 built from 97 to 2000. 1998, they unveil a two-door Commodore concept car at the Sydney Motor Show. It's instantly labelled the Modern Monaro. 2001, in December, the Holden Monaro went on sale. 2004 to 2005, Holden exports 31,500 Monaros to the US as a Pontiac GTO, more than twice the number of Monaros sold locally over 4 years. 2006, Holden launches its billion-dollar baby, the VE Commodore sedan and WM Caprice limousine. They were designed and engineered from the ground up in Australia. 07 to 2009, more than 41,000 Commodores were expected to North America, were exported even, as well, as much as together. North America as Pontiac sedans between November 07 and February 09. But the deal ends when the Pontiac's brand is axed during the global financial crisis. 2011, the Holden Cruze goes into production alongside the Commodore in the Elizabeth factory. 2013, the new generation Holden Commodore VF goes on sale in the same month as the Ford announces factories. Their factories will shut in October 2016. December 2013, Federal Treasurer Joe Hockey challenges Holden to come clean on its future and its manufacturing plans. Days later, Holden boss Mike Devereaux announces manufacturing operations will close by 2017. October 7, 2016, the last Holden Cruze rolls off the Elizabeth production line, the same day as Ford closes Broadmeadows and their Geelong plant. And the Holden drifts off into the sunset. But let's talk about that lion logo. No relation, spelt different. This is by Rob Marguerite. And it was from caradvice.com on the 23rd of February in 2020. Sorry, Bog and Rob. It's a logo instantly recognised to most Australians. A proud lion rolling a stone. Its stoic and regal posture adorning millions of cars made by General Motors Holden. The lion symbol is as recognisable as the cars it appears on. It's appeared on history stretching back almost 100 years. But how did it come to be? And who was responsible for making the original design? To answer these questions, we need to go back to 1927. Rainer Hoff was born on the Isle of Man in 1894, the son of a stone and woodcarver. After seeing active service in the trenches of France during the Great War, an experience that would heavily influence his later works, Hoff immigrated to Australia in 1923 to take up the post of Director of Sculpture and Drawing at the East Sydney Technical College. A keen student of classic Greek art and mythology, Hoff adapted the story of mythology of how the wheel was invented when a lion was observed rolling a stone. It was the perfect visual analogy for a car company, embodying the strength and grace of a lion with the intervention and invention of the wheel. The resulting design was applied to all Holden car bodies built from 1928 to 1939. And again when Holden, now a wholly owned division of General Motors, began producing cars again post-war World War II in 1948. The design has been updated many times, but its essence, that of a lion rolling a stone, has remained unchanged. Hoff would go on to design the figures on the exterior of the war memorial in Sydney's Hyde Park, as well as some interior features, most notably Sacrifice, which critics and historians still regard as amongst the best and most significant sculptural monuments in Australia. While the art world might disagree, for many Australians, Hoff's most seminal work will always be the proud lion that has adorned the bodies of millions of cars. So there we go, folks. That's an interesting little story. I bet you didn't know that. The origins of the lion logo from Rob Marguerite, and it was on caradvice.com on the 23rd of February, 2020. Sticking with our Australian theme, let's have another quick look at their main competition, a particular vehicle in the main competition, Ford, an extremely rare Australian classic set to fetch a fortune at auction. This is from driven.co.nz on the 16th of March. It just is attributed to news.com. Anyway, here we go. A legendary Ford Falcon, a 1971 XY GTHO Phase 3, oh boy, is coming up for auction via Grays Online with a starting bid of just $9. But the car is expected to sell between $600,000 and $750,000. It's an online auction, officially starts at 6 p.m. on Thursday, March 26, and ends at 8 p.m. on March 31. So I'll find out, lit readers, what this car actually went for. The GTHO is the most expensive Aussie-built car ever sold at auction. Another example, which was previously owned by former Australian bowler Jeff Thompson, sold for more than $1 million, crikey, in 2018. The example up for auction this time doesn't have the big name attached, but it is built number 22 out of 300, and it has undergone a full restoration. The car has not been driven since the restoration and remains in it with its original engine. And I reckon, just as an aside, if you've been driving this car fast in 1971, you might have had this on the radio.
I bet you think I'm kinky, right?
Anyway, the 5.8 litre V8 makes 224 kilowatts, 300 horsepower in the measure of its day, and is matched to a 4-speed manual transmission. Oh, we're back to the article, by the way, folks. The GTHO was once the world's fastest four-door car and has immense Australian motorsport pedigree, with race versions domineering at Bathurst during the early 1970s. The GTO Phase 3 isn't the only classic Aussie muscle car up for auction. There's also a 1977 Holden Turana LXSS A9X, which is expected to sell between $450,000 and $500,000. One of just 33 built, it campaigned in the 1978 Australian Touring Car Championship along numerous other motorsport events and comes even with its original CAMS logbook. That's Confederation of Australian Motorsport logbook. The car underwent a full restoration about 15 years ago by renowned Australian car collector David Bowden. 2 years ago, another 1977 Holden Turana SSA9, one of only 33 built, was sold for $500,000. This particular car has only 14 kilometres on the clock and has been stored in a bricked-up garage for more than 30 years. Grays Online auto boss Michael Bray says it's a shame that with the departure of Holden, the rivalry has changed forever. But it's still exciting to see where the legends are going head-to-head on the auction podium. Analysts predict the spike in classic Holden prices will be short-lived following the announcement of the brand's departure in February. Speaking to News Corp Australia at the time, Shannon's national auction manager, Christopher Bobon, said there would be nostalgia and that there would be a nostalgia value in some old cars, but he could only see a few vehicles with the potential to surpass 1 million record set by the GTHO Phase 3. I think if there is one, it would be one of the racing cars, one of the Bathurst cars, said Mr. Bobon. The following that Brock VK Commodores and Toranas have carries a lot of weight. And that is from news.com.au and appeared in driven.co.nz on the 16th of March. Talking about famous logos, we've done the Holden one. Let's do the Ford one. Everyone is very familiar with Ford's blue oval, which was first used in 1927. But the logo script was first used very early in the company's life in the 1900s. Contrary to popular belief, it is not derived from the signature of founder Henry Ford, 1863 to 1947, though the company has muddied the waters over the years, with marketing occasionally claiming his signature was on every Ford. The company contemplated modernising the badge in the 1960s, but ditched the plan. As part of the raising for a massive $23 billion loan to help its 2006 restructuring, Ford pledged the badge as collateral. Gee whiz, that's how much it's worth. So we end today as we started, with a commentary on the demise of General Motors and the Holden. And I'm sure we've all driven in a Holden at some stage in our lives, or owned one, or knew someone who owned one, or was strapped into the back seat of our father's car somewhere along the line. It's an interesting story, and it is sad in a way that famous Ford-Holden rivalry will be no more, and we wait to see what rivalry they will kick up in relation to the supercars events for 2021. I guess we won't see much of them this year because of the COVID-19 problems, but it'll be interesting to see what happens, and I rest assured it will be exciting racing somewhere along the line. And of course I will bring you up to speed on what's happening as it happens on 30 laps. Thank you very much for your company today while we've talked about all things Holden, with a bit of smattering of Henry Ford in there, just to keep things on some sort of a balance. I wish I had one of those GTHO Phase 3 cars in my garage. Thanks again for your company. Thank you to the boys from Liverpool for standing in for the great Dexter Gordon this week. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye for now.
What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? No, I get by.